This is another Patreon bonus episode. Today we're speaking to our friend from Freelancer's Blog. He's known as just CL, stays anonymous. And he's going to be talking about jihadist-themed airsoft in Indonesia and the subculture of militant groups that fight in Syria there. Well, I think you should introduce this, man. Like, we're going to be speaking about, like, airsoft LARPers in Indonesia that are obsessed with the jihadist training group Malhama Tactical. Like, what is going on? Tell us what's happening.
So it's crazy, man. So some of the guys in Freelancers, we were actually kind of looking for some Malhama Tactical content on Instagram and Facebook. So we were looking through hashtag Malhama Tactical. And, you know, we saw some actual Malhama shit, blah, 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 some supporters. But then at some point, we started to see all these Indonesian dudes wearing these, like, shirts and patches and stuff that, like, said Malhama Tactical on them. And we were like, you know, pardon my language, we were just like, what the fuck is going on here? Because it's like... yeah, but it was just crazy. Like, it was something that we would have just never thought would be a thing. And it's something that, like, you honestly don't even see that many group specific, like, t-shirts, hoodies, jackets, patches. Well, patches you see, but you don't even really see that stuff in Idlib. Like, the shirts and stuff are pretty rare, even in areas where these groups exist. But, like, all these Indonesian dudes are just super into it, apparently. So we did a lot of digging into it, and we just found this entire market for this kind of, like, jihadist merch. And it's not just Malhama, too. They have HTS, Arar al-Sham, Ajnal al-Kavkaz, Hamas, Hezbollah. Well, a little bit. Not too much Hezbollah. It's insane. Even some Daesh stuff.
Tell us who these people are. From what I understand, from what we've been speaking about, they're not just, like, edgy, like, live-action role players who want to do, like, airsoft with a kind of tongue-in-cheek jihadist symbolism, right? They actually are a little bit deeper than that. Tell us who these groups are.
So there's a lot of ways you can interpret it. In terms of the people who are really about it, there are two groups that it is likely that, you know, that maybe they're not card-carrying members of, but they likely support. And these are the kind of the more current ones. So the first one, which is arguably the most interesting, is the Abu Ahmed Foundation. So the Abu Ahmed Foundation was founded in and around 2015 by the widow of an Indonesian Jabhat al-Nusra fighter who went by the kunya Abu Ahmed al-Indonesi. And they have actually contributed, like, funding, equipment, and propaganda to, like, HTS. They have a very strong relation with Malhama Tactical, at least they used to. TIP, which is the Turkestan Islamic Party, and a couple, you know, some other smaller groups in Idlib. And they view all of those groups as the establishers of, like, a rightful caliphate in Syria. And they also think that TIP is the rightful caliphate establisher in China, right?
Sorry, just say, like, who TIP is. Turkish, sorry, the Turkmen, whatever. What is it? What is the TIP?
So you're going to have to help me pronounce. I always have trouble pronouncing this. It's like the Uyghur. It's kind of a jihadist group that's present kind of Western China, which they call East Turkestan. And a lot of people who live there, a lot of Muslims call East Turkestan. And obviously that's where the Chinese government has been, you know, very, very viciously oppressing the Muslim minority there. And so TIP was kind of formed in a response to that, unfortunately, in a very kind of radical, shitty way. But they have since gone to Syria and fought in Idlib against the Assad regime in Russia. And they're, generally speaking, pretty bad people. They're hardline jihadis. So that's who they are. And it's not surprising that Abu Ahmed Foundation, as Asian Muslims, or not, sorry, I'm not going to say as Asian Muslims, but as Asian radical Islamists, that they would support it, because it is pretty close to home.
Right. And so who are these groups that are kind of, who are these kids, I guess, these kids that are doing this airsoft situation? Where did that spring from? You know, it's a little bit of a, it's not just the same as, oh yeah, we support this group. Like, that's one thing online. But then to actually be overtly being like, yeah, we're the airsoft league of, like, Malhama or, you know, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. How did that come about?
Well, so this is where... One of the Freelancers guys, who is one of our writers, who's Indonesian, and he's kind of a resident expert in Indonesia, he plays airsoft in Indonesia, and it's a really big scene over there, right? And these guys are not particularly common, but they do exist. He said that he's seen some people that, he, in retrospect, he kind of suspected may be kind of like that. But it's mostly like, so there is a pretty big airsoft culture in Indonesia, and obviously airsoft culture, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, reenacting of units that you look up to, of stuff you think is cool. And I think that a lot of it is like, and this is where it gets interesting. It's like, it's hard to tell where stuff is just like, oh, because Indonesia, of course, by population is the largest Muslim country on earth, right? So it's hard to tell where this changes from, oh, we're all Muslims and, you know, we want to be like Mujahideen, but maybe they're not radicals. They're just kind of like proud Muslims who kind of like the tactical shit. And then where that becomes like, and where it becomes like full on jihadis, like, you know what I mean?
I think that's where we, you know, have to be very clear. Like, the very term Mujahideen does not necessarily mean brutal jihadist that wants to cut off someone's head. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It's like a soldier, a holy soldier, which doesn't always mean murdering. Often does, but it doesn't mean ISIS, you know what I mean?
And that's where, and that's definitely where some of it is kind of like blurry. Like there's patches that a lot of them have. This actually seems to be a pretty popular product. They say Taweed Warrior, and it says Taweed Warrior Black Flag Squad, and it's a Velcro patch put on whatever.
The Black Flag Squad.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And that's one of those things where it's like, obviously, you know, the Taweed and actually the Black Flag in Islam, doesn't inherently have any, it does have something to do with jihad, but it doesn't inherently have something to do with the current kind of like radical movement, because obviously the Black Flag is what the Prophet Muhammad flew in battle or and all that stuff. So it's kind of hard to tell. And then there's off, you know, there's some Shahada patches, and it's just hard to tell like what is just people being edgy and what is people just like, you know, actually wanting to go play airsoft. And they're like, yeah, I look up to HDS, I look up to Muhammad, I look up to Arar al-Sham. And I want to emulate them when I'm playing airsoft. It's crazy. And that's when you start seeing those like Mahama patches and actually some HTS patches too.
Yeah, well, that's where, you know, I get into arguments with people about this quite a lot. The context is important. Now, people, like, for the sake of argument, we'll call it the Black Standard, which is what a lot of people will call the ISIS flag. Now, you get a lot of, it's usually like white Westerners, analyst types are saying, just because someone waves that flag doesn't mean they're ISIS, even though ISIS use it, which, like, technically is correct. But, I mean, if you're waving the ISIS, what is being seen as the ISIS flag at this stage, after all they've done under the banner of that flag, you have to understand the context that everyone, and I'm talking about people in Syria that have been slaughtered by these people, their families have. If you roll up with an ISIS flag in Syria, no matter where you are, everyone is going to go, oh shit, it's ISIS, unless they like ISIS. Do you know what I mean? So I really don't buy that argument. It's like saying that, oh well, you know, it's Azov, they use pagan runes. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're neo-Nazis. You wouldn't say that, because we know they're Nazis and we know the reason they're using these runes. So then why are people then going, well, just because HTS use the ISIS flag, it doesn't mean that they support ISIS. Come on, man. Like, it means that, look, we know what it's about. We know that it's saying, like, we are the brutal jihadists here.
Yeah, totally. Well, and actually, that actually kind of goes in Indonesia. And like I said, like, there is a couple of incidences of Daesh merch. There was a very notable trucker hat that had the Daesh seal on it, which was just insane.
Fuck off. Like a cap.
Yeah, like, imagine going to the grocery store and you turn the corner and there's just a dude in a Daesh trucker hat.
I'd be scared about the truck he's getting into. I'm like, that's gonna blow up.
And then, yeah, exactly. But like, there's a little bit of history behind that too. So back in 2014, this party called FPI, which not the FBI, the FPI, which roughly means Islamic Defenders Front, which is a somewhat successful Islamist party in Indonesia. It's definitely pretty sizable. I think it has about 7 million members, at least as of 2014. So in 2014, they had a pro-ISIS parade in Jakarta. And they're very kind of like bargain brand Islamists, pretty standard. Like, they're not anything crazier than any other like radical Islamists. But they had this parade in Jakarta where they were carrying around banners that said, like, from Indonesia, solidarity with ISIS. And they even had these signs that said, you know, like the keep calm and carry on. It said, keep calm and support ISIS. And instead of the crown, it had the seal. It was insane. And that was like in FPI and FPI supporters. I mean, that is definitely like probably a lot of people who are buying this merchandise, right? Because those are people who are very aware of HTS and of Muhammad and all those, you know, those are people who are supporters of them and who are hardline Islamists and who have been connected to a lot of really awful, you know, pretty brutal terrorism against Christians and just, you know, other Muslims too in Indonesia. So that's kind of another one of the big groups, actually.
How many people are involved in these airsoft teams? And when you say, like, oh yeah, they're dressing up like Malhama, maybe explain that, because Malhama do kind of have their own aesthetic at this point with the, like, ghillie suits and the Gorkha suits, I should say. Maybe tell us about that.
Well, so as far as, like, the teams themselves, I don't know if it's really teams. I know, I'm sure a lot of these guys are friends. I don't. So our Indonesian guy, he couldn't really find any real organized kind of group for these guys. But a lot of them, so of course the cryptic camo, they always see him wearing that, that kind of snakeskin stuff. They love that. And they generally wear that. I actually found on Instagram, it was a store, and I actually found this very fascinating. It was called Kavkaz Store. And for those who don't know, Kavkaz is kind of the traditional name for the Caucasus, which is quite obviously connected to a lot of jihadism in its day. And they were selling only Gorkha pants, though, but they were selling Gorkha pants in Kryptek, in Indonesian DPM, which is the camo that a lot of the military uses there. Pockles, they were selling the kind of Afghan, those kind of Afghan circular hats. And a lot of these guys wear stuff like that. Sometimes it's pretty general. They'll have, you know, just like a plate carrier, and they'll have like a, you know, Taweed Warrior Black Flag Squad thing on it. But they definitely take inspiration from Malhama, and that's 100% one of the biggest ones that you actually see them emulate. There's actually a guy who had a Malhama tactical knife that I suppose he made, you know, I suppose he got it made custom or something, but it was just insane.
What do you mean? Was it carved or something?
Yeah, it was this really ugly, pretty clearly low quality combat knife, and on the kind of the base of it, right on top of the handle, it had, you know, the Malhama logo is like the three arrows. It's three, right?
Yeah.
It's the area, three arrows and the like weird hexagon thing. And it said Malhama Tactical on the other side, and it was just like, damn, man, like, these guys really like Malhama, and they really go out of their way to buy stuff to look like Malhama. Like, they buy, you know, they buy the same stuff. I mean, not the same stuff, but they, the cryptic uniforms, the Gorkha suits. Yeah, they really care about looking the same. And you can tell that they really look up to that.
Yeah. Why do you think it's Malhama specifically that they're trying to emulate?
Honestly, I just think it's because they look cool. That's, that's such a simple answer, but like, especially in like dudes who are playing airsoft and dudes who are playing airsoft who want to, emulate units or dress up like a specific, you know, whoever. When they're playing, like, Malhama is probably the best person. If you're an Islamist airsofter, Malhama is 100% the best person to do, because like, or the best group to do, because they look pretty cool. Like, they look slick compared to all the rest of the groups. You know, they're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to the airsoft field, I'm going to wear a pair of jeans and a chest rig and a sweater, like a lot of fighters in Idlib do. You know, they want to wear gear. They want to wear camo and plate carriers and helmets and stuff. And Malhama Tactical does all of that. So they provide a really, and also the other thing is that, and I don't know how much of this factors into it, but you know that Malhama, like, I mean, obviously in the recent interview with Ali Shashani, he was saying like, oh, we don't support terrorism. We just train the Mujahideen. You know, we just do all this, you know, like there's like an almost, I mean, I don't believe there's any plausible deniability personally, but I think to some people who maybe looking for plausible deniability, Malhama might fill that niche. Because they're not necessarily HTS, even though obviously we know they're incredibly, incredibly close to HTS. It's sort of not the same, especially for somebody who is maybe looking for an excuse to dress up like a jihadist.
No, I agree. And I always say to people that start doing this and start saying, oh, well, you know, they're not necessarily jihadists and they're not necessarily involved with that. I always say, okay, then, well, if there was a group that was firmly aligned with like Azov, which again, I'll use that as an example, Azov, a openly far-right radical militant group in Ukraine who have many Nazis amongst their members, and basically their ideology is frankly National Socialism. Would you then say, well, that group that are training some of their fighters live in the same area as them and are on the front, same front lines as them and praise them, would you then say, oh, well, those people are not necessarily far right? I don't think you would. I think you would assume that they're far right the same way. You know, like, we don't hang around with people that in a war zone with people that we have nothing associated with. If you're a combatant, it's just not that way. Do you think there's any correlation then with, like, perhaps these airsoft kids and these supporters of Malhama and with, like, foreign fighters, like Indonesian fighters, because there have been quite a few go over and join ISIS and HTS and other groups?
Yeah. Well, so that actually is kind of taking us back to the Abu Ahmed Foundation. So as far as the guys playing airsoft, I don't really think any of those guys are about it to the point where they would make that move to go to Syria. I probably think they're just going to stay home and play airsoft, to be perfectly honest. But now talking about these groups, like the Abu Ahmed Foundation is absolutely a kind of liaison for that. And they absolutely, like, because there are a lot of pictures of members of Abu Ahmed Foundation, Indonesian dudes, in Syria, right? With Malhama, with HTS, with Ahrar al-Sham, I think, too. So these guys actually go over there a lot. And you know, Abu Ahmed Foundation definitely has stake in this, you know, in this merch game we're talking about, and also just the kind of greater scene of Indonesians who are supporting jihadist groups. Actually, the founder of the Abu Ahmed Foundation, who her kind of nom de guerre is Tasnim, she is believed to be in Syria right now, actually. And she actually really acts as kind of like an in-between Syrian groups like HTS and stuff and Indonesians, right? So there's definitely kind of a pipeline of, at the very least, aid, support. I really don't know necessarily if there's a huge flow of foreign fighters through these organizations. I would suspect that there's definitely some. I would be beyond shocked if members of the Abu Ahmed Foundation have not fought against Assad, at least just to do it while they're there. You know what I mean? Like, where there is a link, there is a link.
And she's the widow, right?
Yep, she's the widow of Abu Ahmed al-Indonesi. Before we wrap it up, there was a very interesting kind of propaganda piece / line of t-shirts. And it was this logo, and it said, in Arabic, and I'll translate, it said, "On a Muslim, Ma Mujahideen." And then in big letters, and under it said the phrase, "Wa liyan al-Mardin, ladilak nyan Ma Mujahideen," which means, "I'm a Muslim, I'm with the Mujahideen." And then under that it says, "Because it is our religion, we are with the Mujahideen." And this appeared to be, and I was trying to find information on this, and it was tricky. Our Indonesian guy couldn't really find much on it either, besides pictures of it. But it was this really big kind of solidarity campaign with jihadist groups. With the Mujahideen they're referring to are TIP, HDS, MOM, all those guys. But it was this huge line of it, and there's just these massive, there must be hundreds and hundreds of pictures of people wearing these shirts, and they have posters and stickers, and they're putting them up everywhere. And it's like, it was just this crazy, like, mass solidarity campaign. And there's a lot of other, and that was one thing for sure that was just crazy. It was just this huge, I mean, like, it just looks so big. And I was like, man, like, the fact that there is enough people to, and the vast majority of Indonesians want nothing to do with that shit. You know what I mean? All peaceful people, good people.
It's worth saying, yeah, that, like, whilst it is one of the biggest Muslim countries on earth, it's also one of the most peaceful in terms of, you know, like, jihad and that. It is just, like, most people there are just like, no, like, just trying to get on. But, like, you know, anyone that conflates that with jihadists obviously are stupid. But this is what we're talking about, the jihadism. Do you know where this is happening? Like, which areas? I know that there is, I forget the name, but there's a specific area in Indonesia which is, it's become, like, extremely hardline to the point where they do public floggings of women in the streets. It's fucked.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I don't, I mean, I'm sure that there is. I'm blanking on the name of that place. I do not remember exactly. It seems like it's pretty spread out. Because I don't really think this is a huge group of people. I just think it's a loud group of people, more so than a huge group of people. You know what I mean? I think they talk a lot, and I think they post a lot, and they might look a little bit bigger than they actually are. But I don't know. I don't know if it's really a regional thing per se.
But either way, a very interesting subculture to the jihad, I guess. And you're going to be writing this article for us, right? This is going to be written up in a lot more detail with the images in the second issue of the zine, right?
Yep. There will be a lot of very interesting pictures, a lot of crazy stuff that we did not cover today. So treat this as a preview for what you'll see pretty soon. And it's going to be very, very interesting, to say the least.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. Direct people to your platform, I guess, now, right? Freelancers and where they can find you.
Sure. So the best way to find our work at Freelancers is by going to our Twitter and Instagram. Our Twitter is at CBT Freelancers, and our Instagram is going to be at Freelancers Blog. And give us a follow. If you have any questions, shoot me a DM, send a message on Twitter, and check it out. We have a lot of cool stuff right now, and we're only making more cool stuff. So,
thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Of course. Glad to be on.